Welcome, everybody, to the Board of Adjustment meeting for the City of Bettendorf for July 9th, 2020. Roll call, please.
Clements. Gallagher.
Here.
Stringer.
Here.
Tansy.
Here.
Tombers.
Here.
This is the Board of Adjustment. We're a five-member body that are appointed by the mayor. We handle certain special uses and variances that come before us, and I think we have examples of both today. So we normally have an opportunity to go out and look at the properties before the meeting, and in most cases, we end up with a determination being made at the meeting. Our first or next item agenda is to approve the minutes of the June 11th, 2020 meeting. We've all received those electronically or in a packet. Any additions or corrections to the minutes?
No.
If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. The next two items, case 20-009 and 20-0015, were deferred to this meeting, and they are being deferred to the August 13th meeting, so we don't have to discuss them today. The next item is case 20-032. It's 4670 Atwood Court, the PUD, and it's a variance to allow, it's a request to a variance to allow a 5-foot high fence and a swimming pool in the required front yard along Crow Creek Road. It's submitted by Brock Mosier. And this was deferred from the last meeting. So, do you want to make a staff report?
The you can see on the slide where the location is for this structure for the house. It's on a corner lot, so it has two front yards. Area we're looking at is to the south of the house, almost immediately, and then area that we had talked about on the plat, the next slide, indicates that there is a 25-foot setback there, and even though it doesn't call it out as a utility easement, the petitioner indicated that one of the cable companies, Metronet, had been installing cable in that area, and it's hard to know what may or may not be within that setback area. We go to the overhead. I want to show what we were able to find on site. You'll note that this is the rear yard, and there is a stormwater intake right here, and this slopes back. The rear yard at this point, outside of the deck and the fenced-in area up here, is pretty much unusable. There is a portion up here that may be somewhat usable, but this portion is very highly constrained. If you'll note right here where the petitioner is standing right now in this photo is approximately where the fence would be placed, and it's almost in line currently with what the fence is existing at a 4-foot height for enclosure of the backyard. The pool is a 10-foot proposed as a 10-foot radius 5 feet removed from the structure, 10 feet in radius, and would still have some separation here from the fence. The fence would come down and enclose the front here where you see the garage area. The fence would come down here and essentially go out like this. And enclosing the area would be, I believe, in 6 feet in height is what would be proposed. But it is a pool that would be set here above ground, and it could be broken down, the pool could, and removed. We also got receipt of a text from somebody. The neighbor didn't want to give their identity, but it says, in regards to the letter I received pertaining to the neighbor and his interest of having a pool and a high fence in his front yard, I just had a new fence installed in my yard. I contacted five different companies and was informed that I couldn't have any fence higher than 4 feet. I was hoping to erect a higher one because I have a basketball court close to the sidewalk. I live on a corner lot a block away and don't believe it helps the market value of the neighborhood. So that sort of the, I guess, the letter of protest, if you will. Staff has not, in the history of what we have indicated here in the report, we have never seen a variance granted for a pool in a front yard with the exception of one time, and that was a 70-foot setback where the pool encroached 35 feet into that rear yard setback of 70 feet along 53rd Avenue. And that particular setback was established at that great of a depth because of a right-of-way acquisition as a potential along 53rd Avenue. So it was an artificially high setback. The normal setback would have been only 25 feet, and the pool did not go back into per se what one would call the standard front yard. So essentially that is the only exception. Other situations, the code is somewhat clear, as well as you know, the case history that the board has not supported swimming pools within front yard setbacks. So with that said, we would, you know, ask the board to make its determination based on all these factors and what you saw in the photos, also showing a constrained locale to some extent.
Any questions for the committee or the board to for Greg?
So last time we discussed this, we were asking for the verification of the 5 foot and the measurements. So it sounds like that was verified.
Yes, where he would locate the pool, yeah, and yeah.
What was needed from the structure and what was needed.
Yes.
So that was all confirmed. Now the issue is the front yard.
Correct. And under this setup, I believe that the fence, as you outline, if you will, is within 10 feet of the property line in the front yard. So that's essentially what you're looking at, is that fenced-in area. If I'll just put this back up again, you can see that this is approximately 15 feet right here, and then you have a remainder of about 10 feet before you get to the property line. The property line is 1 foot behind the sidewalk.
Well, I guess there's two issues. It's pool in the front and the 5 foot fence. Since somebody complained about a 5 foot fence.
Any other questions from the board? Anybody wish to speak in favor of this?
So, could you? Thank you for giving me another chance from last.
That's fine. I think for purposes of getting the video or the audio, you got to go back to that.
We'll move those.
Yeah, you want to put those up there? Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so we can. That's that first one.
Okay.
That you guys were just looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
If others, I can put them up there for you. And then you can just kind of give me the nod and I'll throw them up.
Yep.
Here she is.
Yeah, glad to help. You want to orient that?
I see that's an outline. Yep.
So before I get started with the picture, the two people that just put in fences, we were planning on putting in a fence this year. We chose to push it off till next year. I know the people. She does have a basketball court in the backyard that she has never used since I've been living there. She kind of lives there by herself with her husband, I'm pretty sure, and that's about it. They did ask, Kelly, my backdoor neighbor, did ask for a variance for a 6 foot fence, tried to call around. She was told she probably wasn't going to get it because we were on that main road. The reason why I'm asking for the 5 foot variance is because I was told that I have to be 2 feet higher than the pool, which is 30 inches deep. So it's just a straight standard kid pool for kids up to basically the age of 10. It would be temporary. It would only be up for the summer months. I already planned, now moving to the picture, I already planned on putting the fence. As you see, this picture, my printer ran out of ink, so I apologize. The square box itself is white spray paint. That would follow in suit where the fence would go. From the border that is facing the road, there is a disparity of 9 feet from my property line, a foot off of the sidewalk, to that white line. The white line that is horizontal to the court, Atwood Court, at the front of my house that I would be adding, that, following the disparity of how the road curves and the sidewalk curves, that would be 17 feet wide, and my fence itself right now is 16 feet wide. If you're looking at the picture, it's 10 feet in diameter, not in radius. So the entire pool is 10 feet wide all the way around, straight circle. I'd be 5 feet off of the hardened structure, and I'd be somewhere in between a foot to a foot and a half, because obviously there's a 1 foot disparity for the 21 feet that I'm moving it. That's the width of my garage. The reason why we're putting it up here, if we move on to the next pictures, there is a picture with the backyard that goes in relevance with the picture he took. That's a downward sloping hill, and obviously we see that there is a sewer runoff, or the water main runoff, that goes along all of our backyards. Trying to not go into the variance there, I'd have to build on top of the hill, but then I would be too close to my house. That's a hardship area that I wouldn't be able to rectify a means to request a pool back there. Along that property line that goes in between my house and the house to the left of me, Adam's house, the property line is kind of shifty and goes at a diagonal slant. So unless I had an irregular shaped pool, I wouldn't be able to put it back there to begin with. Another area that was brought up last time is the area in my backyard. The other one, I'd go with the other one. It's a panoramic view. Thank you. I'm standing in the back corner where my fence back here on the right side of the screen meets my backyard neighbor. She's the one that put up the brand new fence, or one of them. Then the neighbor across the street is the one that they're talking about with the back, the basketball hoop. If you see to the left side of the screen, that is my back of the house and basement. There is a platform of basically brick tiles that are estimated to be about 12 foot wide by 12 foot wide, and I wouldn't be able to put it back there for two reasons. One, that area, if something were to happen to those trees and fall on the pool, it's going to flood my basement. If I put it over there, if you want to put that other picture back up of the backyard, from the deck, if you see, there are two trees with don't know how many roots there are. If I were to put it back there, it would flood the backyard, or it'd flood the basement from the other side if, and again, a tree were to fall. Those are the only two other spots that I would be capable of putting some type of kid pool or a pool that I can put up and take back down for the seasonal. With that being said, the pool has multi-purposes. I have a son on the way. I have a 6-year-old daughter. I have an 11-year-old son. I have disabilities from the military, and my wife has a spinal fusion surgery. So just getting in the water, being able to tread, being able to work those muscles that you can't do in the gym would benefit us for our physical therapy without having to pay out of pocket to go do that. With the circumstance of the pandemic, unfortunately, all the pools are closed. So we run into that issue of what do we go and where do we go from here for our kids on 95 feels like 100 degree weather days getting some water. I feel like the pool is going to be cheaper in the long run than running a sprinkler for 3 hours and flooding my front yard. Another situation, and I can't make this point anymore, it's straight temporary. I'm going to request to put up a fence next year anyway. This is just kind of expediting it in that same spot. If I don't get approved for the pool, the fence is still going to be 4 feet, but it's going to be that same spot. I'm just asking the request for the pool to be able to go behind that fence. It's at a downward slope as it is, unfortunately, so I would have to, like, I'd have to level it out or dig a little bit. Now, if could you guys go back to that other picture, please, of where the pool would be? Yeah, you could, the other one. Thank you. This is taken from the roof. If you see to the left of the screen, I would make plenty of it accessible so there would be space for it. It's 6 feet away from the back fence and 5 feet away from the house. Like I said, from the fence that faces the road, it'd be just over a foot, closer to a foot and a half. On the left side of the screen, I would put a 7 foot wide double swinging door for access. So that way I could get into the pool area while still keeping my dogs maintained in the backyard. So I would keep that fence as is to begin with. This area during the winter would become simply a play area for my kids because I would take down the pool at the end of the season. It's a simple snap together metal pool with a liner from Walmart for $250. I'm not asking for much, just something to cool off the kids in the neighborhood and my family. In closing, like I said at the last meeting, I am greatly appreciative that this situation was going to arise with other people in the neighborhood. I apologize if one of the other neighbors got upset because they didn't get their variance. I'm really asking for the variance for the fence for the pool. I don't really need a 5 foot fence if I can't have the pool. I'm not worried about that part. I'm just worried about the pool. I'll caveat one too. I had Metro Net in there the other day, as in yesterday, and they laid their line. They checked the lines for me. All the lines fall about where Greg said, a foot off of the cement. So where this pool would sit, it's not sitting on any utility lines. If you go back to the other picture that shows the pool, basically at the very low left-hand corner is where the sidewalk is. I'm standing on a ladder on this picture, unfortunately, so I'm sorry. Not of the fence, but lower left-hand corner of the picture. That is literally where the lines start, and it's just at 7.5 feet-ish off of where the fence would be. Those were all the lines go straight down. I had Mediacom there last year. I had Mid-American and the utility companies, and then Metronet last night there already in my yard doing wiring work this summer. So I know where all the lines are. I'm not impeding on anything, and there's no basement underneath the garage. So if something were to happen here, it would flow down towards the road because it's already at a slant grass-wise. So in closing, I do appreciate your time. That's exactly what I'm looking for. It's not too much, but I do understand circumstance when my house was built. So I do appreciate your time. Thank Any you. Questions?
Questions?
So your existing fence is 4 foot?
That's correct. The existing fence follows in suit with everybody else's fence unless somebody got a variance or isn't on a corner. I happen to be a corner of a road and a corner of a court, so where all the hardship stuff is, especially with the backyard utility for the runoff rainwater from the road, that's my circumstance. But as for the fence, no, I just follow suit with everybody else. It was there before I moved in.
Any other questions for him? Anyone else want to speak in favor of the project? How about anybody opposed? Don't see anybody. Okay.
I've got a question more for staff, I think. Does the code differentiate in any way between a permanent versus a temporary structure, pool? Okay.
Not at all.
And we got to have the 5 foot fence because of the depth of the pool itself. It has to be 2 feet above that. Is that my understanding?
I got a question, actually,
while
you said that. Just out of curiosity, I'm not an engineer by any means, but I had to build my own stuff overseas for 13 deployments. Is it possible to have a 4-foot fence with a flip-up that I can take down? So while the pool is up, I have a 5-foot fence. But when the pool's down, I can take the flip-up. It's extra work.
Yeah.
I understand that. But could that caveat, instead of trying to put a 5-foot fence in, and then I would still stay in line with all the brand new fences, because we're using the same builder that the other two did. So our fence is already going to be built by the same people. Is that possible? Just out of curiosity.
So a bracket that you would flip up, lock it in place.
It would be one of two things, either.
The engineering department, but I mean, I think our biggest problem is just the pool
yeah,
in a front yard. If we allow a pool in a front yard, we've set a precedent that I don't know if we can ever go back on. That's the thing. I think that's what we need to really focus on.
Do we ever allow temporary use so that this would be, it would expire at the end of the season, anything like that?
Typically, variances, just in planning law, variances aren't, they're not really temporary in nature.
Right.
You try to find some way to thread the needle. Yeah. Staff really worked with this gentleman, and we walked the property and tried to come up with, you know, thoughtful ways to approach it. He is in the functional front yard or side yard, using the term functional on purpose there, as opposed to what I see as the functional backyard. Staff would make that distinction.
It seems like staff already determined the slope of the backyard would not make it usable.
When you stand at the bottom of the slope or at the back of the yard, the slope itself, when you're looking eye level, I tried to measure it by eye level, and I have two kids that are impatient to help me out, so I apologize. But the hill slope itself is at about of, I'd say, it's probably closer to like 60-70 degree angle. But when I'm standing back there on the next to the fence, the top of the hill is at my waist.
Yeah.
So even if that would have been allowed, there's a lot of leveling and digging back there that would be probably more conducive as a whole to that whole area than me putting the time into the pool.
And then we have the problem with the, as we discussed, that runoff and that easement.
Yep.
And impeding that flow in any way would be problematic for the city.
I understand it's a hard sell, so I apologize.
Yeah.
Even though I do like the idea of a temporary 5-foot that goes to a 4-foot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's the whole fence comes out and goes to a 5-foot and then goes to a 4-foot, but...
Oh, no, I would...
I know.
Hinged up and down.
I mean...
But I, again...
Mechanically, you could build it. The question is whether...
The way that the backyard fence was built, instead of offsetting the panels with the 2x4s in the middle, he made big slats. So they're about 12 feet wide, and he put all the panels on the same side. The bracket that I'm talking about would be 4-foot wide bracket, and I'd put a bracket with a 2x4 on each side. I'd have five panels that I'd have put up, because I'd only have to put it up along the road. The majority of her backyard fence is 6 feet. So I wouldn't have to worry about that portion. As for the bracketing, I'd be willing to put in the extra time. This pool may, and that's the reason why I talk about it as temporary. As my newborn's older, I might turn that area into simply a playground area for him, just to put a sand pit there or something. The pool may not go up every year. That's why the 5-foot fence kind of sucks, that I have to have that in order to have the pool. And I'm willing to bend over backwards in exchange for the situation. That's basically what a bill is down to. I'm willing to do the extra work if the extra work amounts to a payoff. I'm not trying to, you know, do it all and then it doesn't work out. And I'm not trying to...
This question.
Yeah.
So, I mean, by the way the code is written, a pool
yes, ma'am.
In the front yard is not a good... But my point is, so if we say no to the pool, are you still wanting a 5-foot fence?
No.
No, okay. So,
and that's the reason...
Kind of cut and dry at that point. I don't mean to interrupt you, I'm
no,
sorry.
No, you're good.
But, I mean,
right.
If we allow a pool in the front yard, we've allowed a pool in the front yard now across the entire city. That's probably a precedent I don't think any of us can stand behind.
That's the problem.
That's the problem, man.
So now the point is, if we say no to the pool, now the 5-foot fence is irrelevant, and the 4-foot fence is really what we need to address. And let me ask the city, is the 4-foot fence where he wants it, is that...
He's got a
is
right
that okay?
That.
It's fine. That's a use by right.
Yeah, he's got a right to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. He doesn't have to talk
about that. I'll make that motion that I'm, if I can the, read the, it here. Is, are you ready?
Go ahead, sure.
Okay, so I'll make the motion that we deny the swimming pool in the front yard, set the front yard area for case 20-032 and allow the 4-foot fence. Do we have to allow the, is that
no.
just okay?
Use by right.
No.
So all we're doing is just denying the, okay. Yeah. I'll make that motion to deny the pool in the front yard.
Do I have a second?
Yeah.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion at all? I mean, it's a difficult thing because we want to try to help them out.
Right.
But we
it's
also have a problem
so.
With setting some sort of precedent that might go forward. So, roll call.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
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 I'm sorry, but
sorry.
No worries. I do appreciate your time. The only other question that I have would be simply for situations and issues like this moving forward, is there a route, process, a change coming forth? Thank you very much, sir. Coming forth for... houses that were built 35 plus years ago that were deemed to be in certain codes like a PUD addition compared to a regular standard, you know, brick and mortar addition, because in certain circumstances, developments can kind of dictate the way that some of the city laws and building codes are going to go into effect. And I was just curious on how that would eventually end up playing out. In the long run, because what if this happens again and it's not me, it's somebody else? Is just my only question moving forward. Just to prepare for future reference. I mean, I plan on building.
I think you know it's the pool in the front yard. That's the thing that you have to look at. So if you were to drive across Crow Creek and everyone along Crow Creek wanted to put a pool in their front yard, even though you face the cul-de-sac, think of those houses that face Crow Creek. They could all come in and ask for that to put a pool there. So I don't think it has anything to do with the PUD. It's just, even if your house isn't in a PUD, this is going to be a regulation that's going to have to be
right.
followed.
But I guess my question is, to use a house as a prime example on Tanglefoot, there is a house that has a fence all the way fenced in its front yard, and the back portion of the house is wide open to the front of Tanglefoot. And the reason why that is how the corner of the house sits on that T intersection of Tanglefoot and whatever division that is. If they were to request a pool by the way that the law is set up for this development, this PUD development, could they put a pool in between the house and them behind them and just put up a privacy fence in front of their house? Because they don't have a backyard. That's the reason why she does the daycare in the front yard. That's where all the kids play and all the like toys are out. So I was just curious if the neighborhood there has different stipulations or not, or like a black and white law compared to a PUD situation on how the developers decided to build this development 35 years ago compared to that development. That's where I was coming in. I understand the circumstance with the pool, and like I said, I'm very grateful for you guys hearing me for 2 months straight, and I do appreciate that. And I'm not stressed at it at all. It is what it is. I can get behind that. I'm just moving forward, trying to make sure that the next person that has this situation that might be in a worse circumstance than me isn't going to get denied. And if I can get behind something like that to try and make a change moving forward, I'd like to. That's why I was asking about the process, how the standard is, because it's not black and white across all boards, and unfortunately my neighborhood is a PUD, there are some things that they get loopholes for and there's other things that they don't, because there's not, it's not set and dry with the way that the development was developed. So that was just my curiosity is all, ma'am.
Is that a conversation for city staff maybe to just, I don't know, is that just a conversation?
We would have to take a look at the circumstances relating to the other property, because I don't know what address the property is at or whatever, something like that. There has been a consistency, though, to sort of, and even in the code, I mean, the code is really clear, and the precedent is pretty well clear also about, you know, pools being placed anywhere, and anywhere there's right-of-way is going to be a front yard X number of feet behind that property line is a front yard setback that staff would not want to have that encroached by a pool structure.
I think the petitioner has been, you know, extremely reasonable and good to deal with. We would be glad to talk with him about the codes. He has a good understanding of having that corner lot in a PUD and the ramifications and limitations that causes for his property. And I think it would be good for us to meet with him and just explain that process and how we arrive at these decisions as staff. So I would be happy to meet with the petitioner at any time and certainly enjoy his input and enjoy his conversation.
I think that's appropriate.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Just see where we're going.
Thank you, board, very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next is case 20036. It's 4288 Augusta Court. It's a request for a variance to allow a swimming pool within 7 feet of the rear property line, and it's submitted by Kelly Smith. Staff report, please.
Mr. Chairman, yes, where Mark has indicated, that is where the structure is at Augusta Court, and the petitioner is wishing to place a pool within 10 feet of the setback line for the rear, 10 feet closer, or I should say within 10 feet of the rear lot line. Looking at this, we go forward to the next slide. You have an easement in here as well within 10 feet, and there was an easement report that was generated as a part of Iowa One call going out to the locale. Is also referenced by the CenturyLink representative that there is some type of cabling in here, and I believe it's electrical service. The code is clear on the, if we go to the next slide, this will give you an idea of where the pool would be relative to the house, and there would have to be an 8-foot separation from the house, and then that would be a situation where the pool of this design would then encroach 3 feet into the setback area. Now, there have been some sign-offs from some utility companies. We did not receive anything, though, from MidAmerican, and we would want them, as well as any Metronet, verification that they would be willing to permit this encroachment as before any building permit were to be pulled prior. I mean, if this body so decides that there is a need for relief as a hardship. Staff, I'm looking at and if we go to the next slide, I believe we have the this essentially is the code right there regarding the 10-foot separation from the rear lot line of any structure. And then if we go to the next slide, we can see the ticket, and the area highlighted there indicates that there was the cabling found by Iowa One call of electrical nature, and it's MidAmerican's cable. So as a result of that, what we're seeing is the need to make sure this body conditions any variance, if they were to grant it, with that waiver by that utility company to permit a 3-foot encroachment into the easement area prior to the issuing of any building permits. And staff, in reviewing the cases on this matter, found very few cases regarding detached structures. Not attached, not anything relating to what is already on the house as a deck or anything otherwise, but detached structures. Over the last 16 years, only two cases were in our annual report that indicated the granting of variances for what might be a shed or something of that nature being in a rear yard setback, and those are cited in the report to the board. Other than that, there isn't any pool that has ever been placed within the 10-foot setback area as prescribed in the code. There is no precedent. So essentially what we tried to do is we looked at this as an accessory structure that is detached from the house and tried to put it on the same footing. It is different in a way. I believe this is an in-ground structure, and there is something a little bit different than having a shed on a level ground, maybe in a setback area, as opposed to something that is somewhat submerged in has water within it. And I would ask in those regards that the board just simply evaluate that we did not see a hardship per se in this instance of reason to encroach into that easement. So I mean again, the precedence is very thin on the allowing of accessory structures within a rear yard setback encroachment of this nature, and then there is no precedence at all from pools being placed within a rear yard setback restricted area.
Does the board have any questions for Greg?
Greg, I think you said in ground, and it says above ground on this.
Okay, then it would be, yeah. Okay, it's above. Okay.
Just want to make sure.
Okay, any other questions at all? Sorry, my phone was acting up. Anybody wish to speak in favor of this petition? Yes? Go ahead, yes, sir.
My name is Bill Martin. I'm a neighbor. I live at 4269 Augusta Court, within 200 feet of the property, across the street, basically. And I just came here to speak in favor of the Smith's request for this variance. This is actually a very small variance. Lots of room for other cables or whatever to go in the ground and back of there. I think it's very good for our neighborhood. It's good for the area at large, the city of Bettendorf, for making this a family-oriented community. And I think this is a very small variance, a very small request to be granted and allow this pool to go in and really make our neighborhood some place where our family can really thrive. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yes, state your name.
We live at 4288 Augusta Court. My name is Kelly Smith. And so it is an above ground pool. So I just wanted to clarify that. And this pool is also a little bit different than Mr. Mosier's. This is a pool with a lifetime warranty. It is going to be professionally installed from a professional installer. And it's not one that you can take down. It's a permanent structure. And also, I know that I do also want to speak that I do have the approval from MidAmerican. I can, so we have contacted all of the utility companies, and every utility company has given us their approval to encroach on the easement. In getting MidAmerican's approval, I did meet with an electrical engineer who came out to the backyard to ensure that we would have no issues with what we wanted to do. And he also signed off saying that he thought everything that would be fine, and then this is the permission to encroach on that easement. And I believe you guys all have copies of the approvals from Iowa American Water and all of the other utility companies. I also just want to mention that we're zoned a PUD, and when you develop a PUD, the builders aren't bound to the current zoning requirements that the city has. And I did a little research about the different requirements. So R1 requires a lot square footage to be 10,000, and R2, 3, 4, 5 require a lot square footage to be 8,400 square feet. Our lot square footage is 4,630, so you can see we are quite a bit below that, 770 square feet below that for R2, and then 2,370 square feet for R1 zoning. So that, like I said, it's a very small request, and it wouldn't impede on anybody's lot, and we really hope that you see the benefit to this.
Okay, thank you. Does anybody have questions for her? I think we sort of understand the situation anyway. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion from the board? Difficult problem.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's trapped.
They don't come easy anymore.
Everyone's trapped at home. That's the problem.
Yeah, everybody's trapped at home, and everybody wants to find something to do.
There wasn't a smaller pool
option
for you.
That's what I was
going to
ask, too, actually. Yeah.
We actually did look for a smaller pool, and we contacted pool companies in the area, and the Quad City Pools and Spas doesn't even actually sell a smaller version of this pool. Great Escape does sell a smaller version, but our concern with that was that pool parts would be harder to find for a structure that isn't as common. And going forward with the money that we're putting into this pool and that it is a permanent thing, we keep our house very nice to improve the quality of our neighborhood. And we wouldn't want to put in a smaller structure with the risk that parts would be harder to get for that in the future and have something that would be commonized for. And we also have four children, 11, 10, 9, no, 12. How old are our kids? And an 8-year-old. And so we have four kids, and quite frankly, a 12 by 24 pool doesn't really suit our family's needs.
I'm sorry, Greg, can you repeat whether what the variant or what other examples have been from this being allowed in the past?
There are none for pools.
There are none.
It is only just accessory structures, I think, like a shed, and then I couldn't remember the other one exactly that was listed, but there are only two examples after, 16 years worth of looking, and
I think it's an outbuilding and a garage.
Yeah.
Are the two accessory structures that were allowed to encroach on that that easement and setback.
Those are setbacks. I mean, and I don't even know if there are any easements. I don't even think on the one with the outbuilding that is in a large lot, and I don't know if there was an easement either.
Yeah, there were only setbacks, not yeah, easements involved.
Yeah.
Well, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not ideal, but it seems like the smaller pool would be a better solution that just kind of covers all the bases. Yeah. That way. I know it's not as big as you might like it to be, but that seems like might be a better answer.
When you're trying to put in is 15 by 30, and the next size down to 12 by 24. Is that
right? And at that 12 by 24, we're right on what it would be. And actually, we put 3 feet, but it with our lot lines, it quite frankly could only be 2 feet. We just wanted to give ourselves that foot of space either way. I think the thing that's really hard about pools, and I know you mentioned that you haven't approved this in the past, but there's a lot of people in the city that just throw up a pool and don't get a permit. And I know that that's really, really, it's really hard to hear, but we are trying to do this the right way and follow all of the guidelines. And you can drive around town and you see them everywhere that they don't have the proper fence. They're not far enough away from their lot line. They're too close to their house, because we did look at could we move this pool closer to our house and go 5 feet from our house, so then we would meet that rear setback, and that's a bigger problem than this. And we've talked to our neighbors, and all our neighbors are not against this project.
Is the required distance from the house to the pool is 8 feet?
That's correct.
Yes, if there's a basement
right
at that locale, yes.
The hardest part is that this pool issue has come up for 3 months now. And so the challenge is that you're one of many. And the circumstances with COVID is understandable why everybody's suddenly wanting to put a pool on their property. So, and
I understand that COVID, that's why we're doing it right now, but we've always had a plan to put a pool in. But if we were doing it simply for COVID and thought we wanted to get rid of this pool next year, we would spend $200 or $300 and throw up a Walmart pool, and that's not what we're trying to do.
Unfortunately, it's also against the code, so that's the challenge we're faced with up here. So,
and I understand that.
Unfortunately, it's difficult to find a
right
hardship and therefore a reason to change the existing ordinance.
In your research, Greg, have we denied the pool situation in this situation before, or you couldn't find
there
anything?
There wasn't anything.
There was no precedent
no,
on
never
it.
Been asked.
Okay.
No.
Well, I can't believe that. That's
I can't either. But
And
maybe it was asked to staff and turned down at staff and never
before it even got this far.
I mean, I do have a letter from the city engineer that he has no objections to it as well that I could share. I think it's in your packet. Or maybe it's not the city engineer, but it's Brian Fries, assistant city engineer. His email says, engineering has reviewed records and does not have any sewer pipes, storm or sanitary in the 10-foot rear utility easement. You need to verify that there's no other utilities in the easement and have them sign off as well prior to the placement of the pool in this easement. Also, be aware that the pool cannot block drainage as a result of the pool's placement, which it would not. With those conditions met, the city will allow the pool to extend 3 feet into the easement as proposed on the submitted plot plan. So he's also reviewed this and does not have any objections.
So, Mark, how do we address that?
I think Brian was speaking from, I believe Brian Fries was speaking from a purely engineering standpoint, not from the zoning regulations. So his recommendation is not that of this body. It's not that of this staff.
The challenge is also that you do have another pool option that would be within the guidelines of the city, and it would be able to be approved versus this, being a decision that is against all of the, recommendations. So with that, I would move to deny.
Wait a second.
I'll second. Awesome.
Okay. Any discussion? Any other things to say about it? If not, I'll call it a roll call vote.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Tansy?
Yes.
Sonberg?
Yes.
Money
sorry.
Problems. Yep. Yeah. Case, next one is
could
case.
They,
go ahead, I'm
they
sorry.
Defer it to next month if they came up with more information. I mean, that was very thorough to begin with. But my question brought up as a person sitting here listening to it, what is the situation when, other than putting an above ground pool, leveling it out with rock and sand, and then putting a plastic hardened structure, what's the difference between that and somebody who comes in, encroaches on the easement with a in ground concreted pool with big rocks around landscaping possibly, that they get approved for the same way she did, but now it's an in ground pool with a buried heater and a buried filtration system, and then maybe a thrown on deck? That's my question as a whole. Because
If it's a pool that encroaches on, it wouldn't make any difference whether it's above ground, in ground,
so,
or whatever.
Okay, so it would still have to, so the result concrete would still have to sit right there at that 10-foot mark?
Result would be the same, okay. I believe, if depending on, no matter what
yeah.
structure
okay,
we're talking
I just,
about.
I was just curious, because I have seen that yep. situation happen, not necessarily
now,
work,
I'm not saying that somebody in town hasn't done that, and that's
okay.
another issue of enforcement, which
mm-hmm.
is not...
Not,
not our. Unfortunately, this is asked for a variance to the existing rules and regulations and ordinances.
Understandable. Well, I just wanted to throw that question out while I was listening.
That's
so
a fair question.
Are you able to explain why a pool would have to be 10 feet from the lot line, but another accessory structure would only have to be 5 feet?
That would be a reason. That's something that's what our ordinance says. Maybe in the future that ordinance could be amended, but that's the ordinance we're stuck with right now. And I assume that there was some logical reason why they made that distinction.
Well, the weight of the water in the pool, and if the pool ruptures, depending on how much volume is in that pool, you're not going to really, as a neighbor, want that to be coming onto your ground. And that's something to consider. And also the substructures of an in-ground pool where that seepage may occur if there's something going on and you're losing that water and it's going underground somewhere, and it could cause an impact to neighboring property. And that's the reason being that there's a greater separation requirement. It's just like separating it from the basement 8 feet in the house, and then in this case you're in the rear lot line, so you're evidently against somebody else's property, and the idea is to protect that other property owner, and that's the whole gist behind the 10-foot separation.
The separation between accessory structures and pools is greater because of the liquid and chemical
right.
involved in pools. That's the short answer.
Okay.
Is there anything that they can do to defer this
Oh, there won't be an issue if they go with a smaller pool, as I understand.
Be drawn back, I mean,
we're
yeah.
We're running the same situation that he ran into with the flood situation. With floods, there's no zoning requirements like there is for R1, R2, R3, R4. R1, I think it's required 40 feet from the back of the house to the rear property line. With our house, we only have 31 feet. So, that's a hardship in itself. And in a flood situation, you're supposed to have other amenities provided by the developer. And in our area, we have no amenities unless you want to drive down like 6 blocks for our kids as well. There's no other amenities. When they go through the development plan, you're supposed to get supposed to have a park, or there's supposed to be some sort of amenity provided.
They're supposed to, but
they typically have. We don't have.
That goes back to the question I had about the type of developments. I didn't have as much information, but my corner lot circumstance is different. I got that. But that's what, as a whole, I was trying to bring up, is other developments are going to run into the same situation and might be worse. I have appropriate park 500 feet away. It is what it is. I'm a Marine. I got that. They don't have a park. They don't have pool access like condominiums and apartments do. How do they circumvent the situation? Understandable, going with a smaller pool, I got that. But with that being said, if it's, say they wanted to add to the family, once you get to a certain level of how many people you want in your family, stuff becomes too small. A pool, in most circumstances, if done right with landscape, with the type of pool, with the type of amenity the pool provides, raises the value of your house and the value of other houses around it to begin with. So if they already got permission from neighbors, all the utilities and everything like that, that neighbor that water might encroach on, that neighbor might be understanding of that. Whereas my situation, it just encroaches, so I got that.
I understand. I mean, I don't mean to be difficult, but I understand where you're coming from. The problem is we have a set of ordinances that we deal with. Now, the issues that you're raising may be an issue that could be raised in connection with changing an ordinance if, in fact, the city council, powers that be, including the city council, were to make a change in the ordinance. Our problem is we're stuck with an ordinance, and in order to enforce that ordinance equally around the community, the only changes that we really can make in it, if there is there some sort of a hardship, not of your own making. And I don't really want to, that is a difficult thing, and it that takes a long discussion. I'm happy to discuss it with you, and probably not at this time. But that concept of a hardship of your own making is the backbone of when we can make a variance. And in these cases, unfortunately, to make a variance would be to set a precedent that would change the way the ordinance is operated throughout the city. So I think that's a discussion that you might want to have with staff, and staff maybe could revisit it, and in some future date the ordinance could be changed. But unfortunately our hands are sort of tied with this ordinance that exists. So
the planning of the houses back when they were designed, the HUD category, so benefited, I'm not saying it because it benefits the city and it benefits the developer, but it does not benefit the people that take that live in those houses. And that's why I'm saying is that is a hardship in itself.
Well, it isn't because you bought the house, and I know that's going to sound terrible, but you're stuck with the rules and regulations based upon the house that you bought. And I don't think we can solve that problem tonight, but you certainly have, I believe staff would be willing to discuss with
absolutely.
You and willing to move forward and see if there's any reason that a change in the ordinance would be appropriate.
So can we leave this open then for next
month? How does that work?
No, we already voted.
I'm not sure there's a change between where we are now.
No, I think the only thing that would really make the difference is if it was a smaller.
I guess that's
about the only thing
so
that's going
to. We want to get a pool that companies around here do not service, and then if something happens to the pool, they have to take down the pool.
I don't know if that's true or not, and I understand the question, but I don't think we can address that kind of a problem.
Do they need to go through this whole process again if they get a smaller pool?
No.
Okay. No, they're okay with small.
So they got that answer.
Yep.
Here's my two questions, probably, just out of curiosity. And again, thank you for your guys' time. One, this has never happened before, and it goes towards talking to the board. But in the meantime, you're going to have the same people and the same type of people come and ask these questions, and they did their due diligence, but we don't have a precedent to go off of other than that small gray area of you got to stay 10 feet, but he couldn't find anything in 16 years of research. So until there is a precedent set, how's that whole thing going to change? Because that whole law is going to have to change, whereas a precedent set, now you at least have a standard to go off of. That's all I was trying to get at with my first question or curiosity. My second one is this, and I had this situation happen to me, so I am going to be frank. In order for a situation to arise in the city of Bettendorf, somebody has to make a complaint. I have all of the snow from the city of Bettendorf pushed onto my sidewalk, and then when we had three straight days of negative degree weather, it froze, and I couldn't get the ice up. So then I was charged $255 for the city of Bettendorf, to send six people out there to do it, because somebody could not walk on the sidewalk. It was shoveled, but there was 8 inches of ice. Here's my question. We were talking about people adding stuff and not going the necessary route of doing it. If I start making complaints of everything and, you know, backtracking them, I make a complaint one day and then, hey, I'm gonna see what it's done the next. My question is, when people are that petty, that's how things start to snowball. That's. I'm not saying that in a rude way, I'm saying that in a point-blank way, military style. You don't want something to snowball, and right now we're in a situation where we get to make the decision and stop it from snowballing, because that's what's going to happen. People are going to get frustrated with constantly getting denied, and they're going to walk down neighborhoods and make complaints. Oh, that's not in the law. And hey, maybe that person did go the necessary route, but I'm not going to say 10 out of 10, I'll say maybe 3 out of 10 go that route. that's all I'm saying is we don't want a snowball effect is all.
If I can, Bob, that's a big part of our problem on this end too, because if we create your issue,
which I agree,
is the front yard pool.
Mm-hmm.
So if we make a precedent change that front yard pools are allowed in the city of Bettendorf, then that can snowball, and everybody in the city of Bettendorf is going to want a front yard pool because we've made that change.
My situation.
So that's where we're constrained.
No, which is understandable. My situation completely different than theirs.
Sure.
I didn't like, and I accept my situation, but theirs being in a fenced in 5 or 6 foot fenced in yard, getting all of the permission from all the neighbors around, and then going above and beyond with utilities and engineers of not only the city, but just engineers in general, and it's still that small 10 foot gray area of the law. That's all I was trying to say, is I understand my situation, and I'm thankful that you guys heard it for 2 months. I ain't even mad, honestly, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you for that, at least giving me the opportunity to speak. But that's why I'm trying to defend this. Ma'am, I didn't get your name, I'm sorry. But you guys, you personally, I thank you because you chose to defer last month for me so I can get more time. I said, I'm gonna buy a boat either way if I didn't get it approved. And I bought a boat, so it is what it is. But you guys did that for me. So that's where I'm coming on their behalf and just trying to say, they know they can get a smaller pool. But that's not the point. Point is the type of pool. They did their research, and there's no parts around here because pool places are closing. That is true fact. My dad tried to buy a pool smaller. That is what it is. If this is synonymous of parts places around here, that's the pool that they're going to have to go to, especially being a bigger family. That's all I was trying to say. We just snowball on your side, snowball on our side. We got to find a way to come to the middle, just like in the pandemic. So that's my two cents. I appreciate your time. I'm sorry for all the extra questions. It's just, I don't want this to become worse.
No, nobody wants it to become worse.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on then to case 20-037, which is 6855 Prairie Grass Lane. It's an R2. It's a variance to allow a 5 foot high fence in the required front yard along Forest Grove Drive, and it's submitted by John Blackburn. Please, Greg, you have a...
Mr. Chairman, this locale is right up against Forest Grove Drive, and eventually in our CIP, this is going to be a widened street and become a major arterial, one of the few that actually goes from LeClaire to Davenport. The petitioner is already seeing some increase in traffic in this area, and as we've mentioned before, there is a strong precedence for permitting fences in what would be a front yard setback, a fence of 6 feet in height, because it acts as a buffer to the traffic that is going by these locales. This individual, his house is second in from when you drive off of the, right, you can see it encircled in blue. And essentially, they're already experiencing that out there. The park is right across the street, or nearabouts, I should say. So you've got an increased traffic count as well from the subdivision that is going up further north. And essentially what you're looking at is just the beginning of what will be even greater traffic counts when the improvements do come. If we go to the next slide, we can see the Huntington Meadows plat, and that is essentially a double frontage lot you're looking at, again, with two street frontages. In the code, there are provisions for certain buffering elements, and one is a fence with an evergreen two evergreens, maybe for every 50 feet of fence, lineal fence that goes along the collector street. There's also a buffer zone that one can put up trees if they would. But what we see along 53rd Avenue are a number of fences that are 6 feet in height, and we see a number of fences along other collector and arterial streets granted as a result of board action to permit not just a 4 foot high fence, but a 6 foot high fence. Petitioners asking for less. And evaluating this, the amount of precedent that has supported that notion, we would see that there is somewhat of a clear direction here on granting a variance. We've even discussed this in the past, and we're discussing it again about maybe amending our code, because if we do look back at the annual reports, the number of these cases tends to be one of the more predominant ones, just as the square footage issue on garages was a very predominant high volume case load. And some people in the planning profession advise that at such time as there are a number of cases that continually keep coming back to the board, it's maybe time to reevaluate our city ordinances. So it's pretty clear cut in this instance.
Okay. Any questions from the board to the staff?
No.
Anybody wish to speak in favor of this application? Okay, what's your pleasure?
I'll make a motion to approve that variance okay. for the 5-foot high fence.
Second.
Case 20037.
Anybody second?
I'll second. Then?
Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yep.
Tansy?
Yes.
Homburg?
Yes.
Okay. The next is case 20038. It's 3830 Norwich Court. It's a variance to allow a 6-foot fence high in the required front yard along Tanglefoot Lane, and submitted by Tab McDonald.
Pretty much a similar situation again. And in this instance, I believe the adjoining neighbor had already received a variance as well. The area, again, it's a double frontage lot, and the more intense area is along Tanglefoot Lane, and there is a sizable traffic count along Tanglefoot. So the neighbor, understandably, again, would like to shield that externality of the traffic noise and any other issues from his property. And as you can see here, if we go to the site photo, we've got the plat below as well, but it shows pretty much everything there. There are no easements, by the way, on this parcel. And we did check that out. If we go to the next slide, we can see that all you have is a 30-foot setback. There is only a minimal easement on the west side, but we did look at that from a staff perspective, and that is not anything that would be impinged in this instance. The fence also, if anybody had to use that utility easement area, the fence would have to come down. The owner, at their own expense, would have to replace the fence. If we go to the next slide, we can see, again, outlined here where that is. The current fence is a chain link fence, and we can see the frontage there for Tanglefoot Lane. And what the intent of the petitioner is to enclose a greater area, but to make sure there's a uniformity in that fence height. We go to the next slide. We do have fenced in area pretty much is going to encompass, I believe, not just the rear yards but also the side yards as well. We go on to the next slide. The code is listed for what it is. Again, for what we see here is the limitations on the fence height regarding frontage and encroachment into a front yard setback. But again, as we mentioned, and as we see, very strong precedent again for fences being permitted in front yards where there is a substantial traffic count and we do have a collector or an arterial street involved.
So the major, the issue is a 6-foot fence along an arterial street, and it's consistent with what we've been doing
yes.
for a number of years. Any questions from staff, or the board to the staff? Anybody wish to speak in favor of the application?
I think he did a fine job already.
Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to approve or deny then.
I'll make the motion again to
okay.
approve case 20038 and allow the variance to the 6-foot fence.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Roll call.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Springer?
Yes.
Tansy?
Yes.
Humbers?
Yes.
Okay. The next is case 20039. It's 3814 Villas Court. Variance to reduce the required rear yard setback from 25 to 11 to allow for the construction of a 16-foot by 22-foot deck, and it's submitted by Wade Larson. Staff report.
Mr. Chairman, in this instance, we have a an area, and if we go to that slide,
Yep.
There's a great deal of precedence that has been established in surrounding subdivisions as well as the one here. What we have are a number of variances that have been granted, and this is due to the 53rd Avenue right-of-way acquisition that was undertaken many years ago. And in that instance, you already had property lines that had been drawn by adjacent properties to the north. And as a result of that, the properties, these, were no longer that enlarged. They weren't squared off anymore. They were squeezed, if you want to call it that. And for the platting of these grounds, the city permitted the subdivisions to come about and be platted. In an attempt to fit residential structures on these, there is a great deal of constraint. And that means also the attachments that go on to the rear of the structures, just as we are seeing the petitioner requesting a deck be built on the back of his house. The big one that stands out is the adjacent Forest View Villas subdivision, where a blanket 5-foot setback was granted to this property when there was a 25-foot setback required in that district. Essentially, that was in order to incorporate a street and other items into that particular subdivision. And here, this subdivision just due west is also constrained by, again, the acquisition of the right-of-way, and it's narrowing down compared to what it would have been, that subdivision. And there are precedents set in here as well. The other factor, too, is that now this is no longer a C5-zoned area with a 20-foot setback. The 25-foot setback on there is due to the R5 nature. C5 zoning was removed from the city ordinance in 2017. It's gone. So the setbacks have changed. We tried to accommodate and match the zoning classes that were left with the appropriate type of zoning that would be the most lenient and beneficial to those parcels, so that it would impose less upon these property owners. Yet we still have a setback issue. But given that, we do see that there is precedence as hardship in this instance, and we also see it with the fact that other variances within this subdivision and then the two adjoining subdivisions or two other subdivisions to the east have also been recognized, that there are hardships there with what folks are wanting to do. In this instance as well, negotiating this area for the gentleman here, and if we were to go further in these slides, you can see there's the deck that he wants to build, essentially, and the unit is on the left where he would build that. If we go further, we can see the constrained area back here where it's somewhat, you know, being pressed against the neighboring property. And then we can see the deck area where it would be built. Because of mobility issues, getting up and down the stairs is somewhat more difficult for this gentleman, and the deck would be straight out at a grade equal to the doorway on the back. The sliding doors would open up and he'd immediately be able to gain access onto the deck. And that was the intent as well. We have acknowledged in the past for people with handicap accessibility, the putting of ramps into a front yard setback area as a structure attached to the house so to accommodate them. And this is similar in that regard. So we see a strong precedent here that has been established, and we feel that in this case there's a hardship for this situation to grant a variance.
Okay, any questions from the board?
No.
Anyone wish to speak in favor of it? It's up to you. Okay. If not, do I have any more comments from the board at all? If not, I'll take a motion.
I'll move we approve case number 20039.
I'll second.
Okay, roll call.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tianzi?
Yes.
Tombergs?
Yes.
Okay. The next item is case 20040. It's 3655, 3707, 3867, and 3875 Tanglefoot Lane. It's a request for a variance to either reduce the required front yard setback from 35 to 20, or to reduce the required rear buffer zone, buffer yard from 30 to 15, or to reduce the required front yard setback from 35 to 27 and a half, and to reduce the required rear buffer from 30 to 22 and a half feet, and it's submitted by Kevin Dolan. So, staff report, why don't you
Mr. Chairman,
to us?
These lots have been marketed for a number of years, and again, it comes back to the right-of-way issue. If we go look at what has occurred here, Tanglefoot Lane was stubbed through. If we go to the next slide, we can see when this subdivision was platted, the Glen Ventures subdivision, what occurred here was a lot width, or I should say a compression of this ground. We've had, since I've been here now, almost 19 years, at least six different developers come and look at these lots. And they look at them and they say, I want to do something, but they are too shallow. So on top of this, because the city is addressing certain issues regarding density and the closeness of certain heights of buildings in proximity to structures that are on an arterial or a collector street, that ordinance was brought forth, and now we have other constraints that are, in some regards, I should say, regulations that are being placed in these type developments, requiring that if a structure is being built along a collector street or an arterial street, that have a 35-foot buffer area that is landscaped in the front yard, or a 50-foot buffer if there is no landscaping of an extraordinary nature. In this instance, what we are seeing is a constrained piece of property, again, done remnant somewhat left over from a platting process after right-of-way was dedicated for a city project. What our concern is in this instance is we want to abide by the intention of the city council. We want to make sure that the ordinance newly passed is followed regarding either a 35-foot setback that's landscaped or a 50-foot setback that is not. So in this instance, what we are recommending is that the relief, if any, granted by this board be given in the rear yard area. And that is regarding mainly more of a buffer yard setting. So you're reducing that buffer yard. At the same time on the plat, I believe there's a 12-foot wide easement. We're looking here at reducing the rear yard area from 30 feet in setback to 15, I believe, is what the solution is that we have proposed. And we're looking at trying to find a ground here that will work. The adjoining neighbor, Mr. Kellner, and I believe we may have that attachment in here, he has indicated that he has no problem with that reduction. He is the adjoining neighbor. And essentially, if you note in the report, his use is a non-conforming, but this is part of an agreement with the city that in order to get rid of what was a massive non-conforming use at one time with exterior storage, and it became quite overwhelming for the owners at the time, Mr. Kellner bought the property, cleaned it up, made the storage indoors, and then made the area smaller for the storage area. So when staff looked at this, we felt he was taking a non-conforming use and actually making it smaller. His type use normally be found in an I-1 or I-2 or I-3 district. And so in this case, the buffer yard for the housing is actually up against a use that one would say, well, the other person maybe should have that buffer on his property relative to the residential going in. So that's why we look at this as a hardship, and we feel that the best route is to reduce that rear yard setback adjacent to Mr. Kellner's property. And we feel, again, the same constraints of the right-of-way acquisition, and again, this property, the issue with the shallowness for certain types of uses in this C2 district, that therefore we would see the grounds for granting a variance in this instance for a rear yard setback reduction for buffer yard.
So as I understand your report, what you're recommending is that we grant that of all those possibilities in that list, that we grant the buffer yard reduced from 30 to 15 foot on the rear property.
Yes, Chairman, and we did clarify that with the petitioner.
Okay.
And that would be satisfying their request as well.
The petitioner's okay with that, and of course, Kellner's okay with it because it butts his storage units or whatever. So, okay. And then the people that buy these lots will be stuck, so to speak, with that, with that hardship, and they'll have to come in and build based upon those requirements.
Yes.
So is that a picture of what they're going to look like?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct.
And there's just those four lots there?
There's another lot that is... in on the corner.
Yeah.
And that lot is maybe anticipated for commercial type use. That is also dependent though on a number of utility issues that would have to be taken care of prior to any design that would ever be approved by the city. So number of things working on that lot. These four lots here are somewhat separate in nature from the one on the corner.
So you're not recommending that we give any kind, well,
not for lot number five, no.
Lots. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, any other questions for staff?
No.
Okay, anybody wish to speak in favor of this particular application? Yes, please do. State your name.
Ma'am.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Hi, my name is Kevin Dolan with the development team for the project. As Mr. Beck explained, these parcels that we're trying to develop on Tanglefoot are quite shallow, and unfortunately they're also subject to some unique additional setbacks beyond what would normally be required in C2, an extra 10 feet in the front yard and 5 feet in the rear. So this creates a hardship by substantially reducing the buildable area to the point where the site is not really feasible for development. As it stands, the lots are 202 feet deep, but only 137 feet is actually usable. So what we are requesting is, as Mr. Beck said, a variance to reduce those extra 15 feet. We wanted to give the board maximum flexibility into where it comes from, front, rear, or a combination. It sounds like staff's recommendation is from the rear yard, and we have no issue with that. But doing so would allow us to build a townhome development. I do want to make some important distinctions between what we're planning to do and some of the other more controversial townhome developments that have gone in recently, like what we saw on Middle Road. First and foremost, these will be two-story instead of three, and all of the units in each building will be the same color. I think we have a photo. So that is from a nearly identical project that we just completed in Davenport. So that's basically exactly what they'll look like. We will also have a berm with a robust landscaping package along Tanglefoot. And whereas some of the other townhome developments in the past couple years came over the opposition of the neighbors we went and spoke with, the neighbor immediately to the north is Genesis, who's selling us the land. They endorsed the variance as part of the our application, and Mr. Kellner immediately to the south, we included his letter of support as well. Also important to consider the adjacent zoning. So the buffer yard immediately to the south is for storage. So I think we'll be doing a public service by screening the storage units. And then lastly, I'd just like to say that we've worked hand-in-hand with city staff over the past several months to refine this plan. We've reduced building height and density and worked together to get to a concept that not only does staff support and we believe is the highest and best use for the site, but will also generate substantial tax revenue for the city. And we just ask for your help to get that done.
Thank you. Any questions, Kevin?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, someone had a question.
Yes, with these units, if you go back to the last slide or the slide before this, that one. Okay, so it looks like there's four sets of buildings here then, condo units, is that correct?
Six. Six buildings?
There's a total of six buildings.
Three.
Is the front of those homes headed towards Tanglefoot Lane? Or is the back of those homes going to face Tanglefoot Lane like they do on Tanglewood Lane?
The rear of the buildings will face Tanglefoot.
Okay. The only issue that I have with this, I'm sitting here kind of long for a minute. When I'm coming up Tanglewood to go to my business, those apartment buildings, they're beautiful, they're nice. But like all people, you do things in the backyard, like hang your swimsuits over the rail, your towels, your blow-up toys. And they're right there.
You wanted me, I'm sorry, would you do me a favor and go there so we can get it picked up? I apologize.
My husband and I and my son are all in favor of developing the land, but the only problem that we have is the apartments that they built on Tanglewood Road. As you come up Tanglewood, and the backs of those buildings are extremely close to Tanglewood Lane, and you see, like normal people, you know, you get your kids some toys and they've got some boxes that they need to recycle, and those are stacked there for everybody to see. You've got towels and swimming suits and hanging over the rails of the patios. The only thing that we would really like to see, and we would like to see those first two that face Tanglewood, wondering if the frontage of that could be on Tanglefoot Lane instead of having that be the backyard.
I think that, and I don't know, Kevin, you could probably speak to this better than I can, but it looks like there's a berm. How high is the berm?
It's probably going to be around 3 to 4 feet, and I have a photo that may help address certain concerns. So the project that we did on Tanglewood was mm-hmm. three-story. They do have decks, and I know what you're talking about. These will be two-story, again, with a berm and a pretty robust landscaping package. But they will also have patios instead of decks with mm-hmm. six-foot privacy fence.
They're very pretty. And like I said, I just, as a resident of Bettendorf and a lifelong resident of Bettendorf, I guess I'm a traditionalist, and I like to see the front entrance, the front of the house. I do understand that, as I was driving up there, because I drive through it every day, I was coming up Tanglewood, and I see that, and it bothers me, just because it's would be my laundry hanging out there. I mean, that'd be my backyard, so I can't complain about it. It's just that it's right there in your face. And then I look at Cedarwood, and they've got all those mature trees, and all along there just nice berms and stuff. And that would be my biggest concern is that the berm be high enough to cover, is so that we're not looking into people's backyard lives.
But it seems like the fence would take care of that, correct?
Yeah, possibly.
And hopefully the berm and the landscaping.
Yeah. And like I said, Cedarwood has stuff similar, and I'm sure that this would be, it's going to be as nice as, Cedarwood, even though Cedarwood has aged, So that was my husband and my only concern, is wishing that we would be able to turn the buildings around. But then again, like I said, we're just traditionalists, and front yards are on the front street. So the ones on Devil's Glen, next to the dog park, don't bother us, even though they're close. Don't bother us as much because it's like the front door is right there. But like I said, Mr. Dolan has shown that he's going to build a berm, and there's going to be trees on it, and it does look like a beautiful facility. And we're not demanding that. We were just wondering if it would be able to be turned around. And if it isn't, we understand. I mean, it's definitely been addressed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good comments. Any other questions from the board?
No.
No.
Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion on case 20-040 to, of all the options, we're going to go to reduce the required rear buffer from 30 to 15 feet.
I'll second. That was well stated. Thank you.
Nice job. Roll call.
I circled it.
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tansy?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for coming to the meeting. And, have a good night.